Renee,
Yes, Steve?
I know it's early in the morning, but I have in my hand here in our Washington studios a bottle of beer.
Okay, I can't see you here from LA, but I'll trust that that's true.
Well, just listen. You can hear that. There's the bottle. Here's the rusty can opener that we have here, bottle opener, rather. I'm going to just open this up. Let's get the sound of this. There we go. I should tell you that it's a bottle of Budweiser, and we've opened the bottle because we're opening the story of an iconic American brand, which is no longer American. The Brazilian-Belgian brewing giant InBev owns Budweiser now. Author Julie McIntosh tells the story of the hostile takeover of Anheuser-Busch in 2008 in her new book, Dethroning the King.
It was a family company for a really long time, and I think that's why there was such loyalty within not only the Bush family members, but the people who worked there. They saw it as a 150-year-old family jewel, and the strange reality of it was that the family owned only about 4% of the stock, and a lot of the employees were shocked when InBev made its bid that the Bushes actually had absolutely no power whatsoever to stop their entreaty, essentially.
If you went to St. Louis on the morning that InBev sent its takeover offer to Anheuser-Busch, and you just drove across the city of St. Louis, what signs of Anheuser-Busch's influence would you see all across the city?
Every single billboard along the side of the highway seemed to be tied to Anheuser-Busch in some way. You've got Busch Stadium. You've got nature parks that are sponsored by the Bushes. You've got Grant's Farm, the ancestral home of the Bush family, which is a free, essentially, amusement park for families and kids. And people really appreciated the amount of support the company gave the city.
Mm. You also write that if you went to a particular block and got to know the people, you would get to know the person on that block who was an Anheuser-Busch employee because they might be handing out free beer.
That's right. If you were even kind of in the middle levels of the company, you would generally get a certain amount of beer every month, a certain quota, and the higher-up executives would have a kegerator on tap at their house at any one point. Not a bad perk.
How hard was it to contain costs at a company that was so successful and was selling, after all, an addictive product?
Anheuser-Busch prided itself on being gold-plated. That's what so many of the executives I spoke with said over and over again. It was their favorite term. They loved that the airplane hangar where their 20 jets were stored was spotless, and they loved that
they had their own airline practice.
Right, Airbud. And the Bushes themselves, you know, August Bush III flew a helicopter to work every morning.
But as August Bush III turned over the company to his son, August Bush IV, even though the company was spending so much money, it was still profitable, right?
They were still profitable, but they were lagging the other global brewers. And shareholders had been looking for them to come up with some sort of a plan to become more competitive.
You've already given us one hint as to how Anheuser-Busch could be taken over, that August Bush III only owned 4% of the company. How did InBev, this Brazilian-Belgian beverage giant, take over Anheuser-Busch so swiftly?
There was an amazing timing to this. If InBev had made its bid any earlier, Anheuser-Busch might have had more of a leg to stand on because the economy was a little bit stronger and people wouldn't have been so distracted by what was going on in the summer of 2008. On the other hand, if InBev had moved a little bit later, there's almost no way they would have gotten the financing together to do this deal. Exactly. The market then did fall apart. So they really, you know, I had this very vivid image of them just kind of barrel rolling under this garage door as it was slamming shut.
Now, you make it clear that the executives who ran Anheuser-Busch seemed to have come out okay. They lost control of the company. That was very disappointing, but they made a bunch of money. I mean, it was a pretty good price that InBev paid in the end. What about the city of St. Louis? Is the Anheuser-Busch name still plastered all over St. Louis the way that it was on the morning of the takeover bid?
It is, absolutely, because I don't think that the new owners would want it to seem any less American or any less local to St. Louisans. But they're really struggling because in the city of St. Louis, a lot of people have actually switched over to the more local craft beers. So one of the most loyal Budweiser cities in the world, if not the most loyal, has suddenly become significantly less so.
Julie McIntosh, author of Dethroning the King.